Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is a special edition of Your Call. Seeds have been described as the building block of our food system and the embodiment of new life. We depend on seeds for food and our very survival. Over the past 80 years, 93% of seeds have been lost. Today, almost 60% of seeds are controlled by just four multinational agricultural corporations, including Monsanto, which is known for its genetically modified seeds. In the book Visions of the Living Seed, it's a newly released collection of compelling photos and inspiring essays. It explores our relationship with seeds as the source of life on our planet. The new book and its authors call attention to the role of seeds in solving food security, climate change, and biodiversity. Renowned environmental activist Dr. Vandana Shiva wrote the introduction to the collection. She says not only are patents on seeds being imposed around the globe, attempts are being made to make living seeds illegal, and it's happening right here in California. So as our food supply is increasingly threatened by climate change, industrialization, and the growing population, how can we protect the diversity and integrity of seeds? Dr. Vandana Shiva is an environmental activist, ecofeminist, and author of more than 20 books. She is the founder of Nandanya, a network of seed keepers and organic producers spread across 18 states in India. And tonight, Vandana Shiva will be speaking at the Heirloom Expo, Santa Rosa Fairgrounds, at 7 o'clock. And Vandana Shiva joins me in studio. Hi, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
It's great to see you. So let's start off by talking about what is happening right here in California. You want to talk about AB 2470, a bill that would criminalize seeds in California? How does this work?
It would criminalize the real seed.
The real seed.
The real seeds are seeds that evolve, they adapt to climate. Real seeds bring you nourishment, taste, quality. They're not nutritionally empty mass loaded with toxics. They're not genetically modified. The law would criminalize the seeds that bring us health and resilience and are free to be reproduced. It's in their nature to be open pollinated, open source. Now, since the industry put its eyes on seed, and I was woken up to this in 1987, which is when I started Navdanya. It's the chemical industry who decided if we do genetic engineering, we can claim we have invented the seed and we can take royalties. They had hoped it colonized all of the seed of the world. We build the movements. We save the seeds. We have alternative seed supply. That's what they are trying to criminalize. They tried it in India. We did a seed satyagraha, Gandhi's word, force of truth. The need to not cooperate with unjust law, because we have to obey higher laws of the earth, of the planet, of the seed, of our humanity. The law AB 247, first of all, says your neighbor can only be within 3 miles. So if you take seed beyond 3 miles, it's a crime. The bill also prohibits any city, county, a charter city or a county from adopting or enforcing any law related to seed. Any law related to seed, which means counties cannot be seed sovereign and food sovereign and design their agriculture to address climate change, to address food insecurity, to address food deserts. It goes further and says that person will include a corporation, which is such an error made in this country, Citizens United and other things. This is not the norm anywhere else. Only in the US, corporations are treated as persons. Everywhere else, they're treated as legal entities, given permission as long as they perform within the limits of justice, sustainability. And the final clause in this, which is very disturbing, which is why the Heirloom Expo is important, which is why the book on the Visions Living Seed is important. It says only industry, which means only the Monsantos, can bring you good seed, and therefore that is what agriculture should be based on. Has industry brought us good seed? In the last 20 years, all they've brought are two applications of genetic engineering: herbicide tolerance, Roundup ready crops, so Monsanto can sell more Roundup, more glyphosate. And glyphosate has been proven to be a carcinogen. And California has a call for people to write in And people should write in to say, we want glyphosate banned. Monsanto lies on its label of Roundup, saying it cannot affect human beings because the enzyme that is impacted by Roundup is only in plants. They forget to tell people that we are mainly bacteria. We are 600 trillion cells, of which only 600 million are human. The rest are bacteria. Those have the enzyme that creates the shikimate pathway, which Roundup kills. That is why all our diseases related to the gut, and the gut is related to the brain, the gut is related to digestion. The gut is a microbiome. Industry before that pushed on India, the Green Revolution. What are the Green Revolution seeds? The propaganda in this country is it helped India get out of famine. One of the biggest lies, which is why I wrote the book, The Violence of the Green Revolution. Punjab erupted in violence in 1984. Green Revolution given a Nobel Peace Prize. The seeds were modified in, or not genetically, but they were made responsive to chemicals, because selling chemicals is the main objective, whether it's through GMOs or through so-called improved varieties. They're not improved in the context of nature. They're not improved in the context of our health. They're not improved in the context of farmers being sovereign in their seed. So industry has messed up the seed supply, pushed 93% of our diversity to extinction, caused diseases, pushing our bees and butterflies to extinction. This is not a very smart way to grow food. We need the seeds that have evolved through nature, through 10,000 years of women's breeding. Mm. Those are the seeds of the future. Heirloom makes you think it's about the past. Heirlooms hold the seeds of the future, the toxic seeds of industrial farming, which is what the California legislature would like to force on California as the only option, criminalizing the real seeds. And I think it's time for Californians to rise in civil disobedience and do the satyagraha, the force of truth for the seed.
Now, I have not heard of this law. Again, AB 247. Where did this come from? When was it introduced and why?
Well, it's introduced only this year. It's 1st of January 2015. Where did it come from? The growing movements against GMOs. LA was going to declare itself GMO-free. Not that it's an agricultural place. It's one big concrete jungle. But the message that we want a different food system, that was growing. And those of us who work in this field, over the last 30 years, as I've built Navdanya, worked with seed, we have found, and we've done the research, and the books are out, that with native seeds, we produce more food per acre, more nutrition per acre, more nourishment and health per acre. When farmers have their own seed, which are constantly evolving, the seeds are not static, they're not primitive, they're not low yielding. They are adaptive, they're resilient, and just as we've bred for 10,000 years, we can continue to be breeding. One way is GMOs. The other way is continuous breeding with nature's evolution. That is the breeding for diversity, nourishment, resilience. The evidence is out so clearly. GMOs have failed. Industrial agriculture has destroyed 75% of the planet's resources, given us only 20-30% of the food. So laws like this are passed by lobbyists working with the legislators. And it's basically to kill the alternative that will spread, because it's the only thing that really works for the planet and people. And killing that alternative, there's only one way we can respond to it. The way Thoreau responded to slavery and said, I will not pay a poll tax. I cannot support slavery. The way Gandhi responded to the British making salt making illegal, and he went to the sea, picked up the salt and said, nature gives it for free. We need it for our survival. We will continue to make salt. We will not obey your law. That's how we have practiced satyagraha and rolled back laws like the one being introduced in California now. In India, they tried in 2004. We did a seed satyagraha and we said, following Gandhi, these seeds that we've received have come from nature and our ancestors. We have a duty to pass them on in their diversity, integrity, freedom to future generations. We will not obey any law that makes their duty to nature and the future a crime. We will not obey seed laws. Last year they tried in Europe. Monsanto is desperate. Their technologies are failing on the promises they made. They haven't produced more food. They said they'd reduce chemicals. They've increased the use of glyphosate with Roundup Ready crops. They've increased diseases that are related to this. Their technologies are failing. They've got so used to making money at any cost, they don't want an alternative. And I call this coming out of fear. And you will understand this. A fear of everything that's alive and free and different. So it's a fear of diversity. It's a fear of life. And it's a fear of freedom. So anywhere they've tried, when we've organized in time, and we have a global movement now that came out of Navdanya. It's called Seed Freedom. And the website is seedfreedom.in for info. And please go to these websites to see what is happening in other parts of the world. Also, the Seed Satyagraha file is available now on seedfreedom.info. There's a declaration for seed freedom. I invite all your listeners to become seed freedom warriors.
Now, this law, AB 247, what would it criminalize in California specifically?
The first thing it would criminalize is seed saving and seed exchange.
That's happening in California. Are you impressed by that in California? Is it pervasive in the state?
Yes. You know, one of the things that has definitely happened in this country, as much as in every other country, is the recognition that we can't allow our seed diversity to go extinct. After all, the Heirloom Expo is the biggest fair, in my view, in the world on seed diversity. If you come to the halls and see the hundreds of varieties of squash and the tomatoes and the millets and the pulses, then you realize this is life, this is beauty, this is the future. Everywhere in the world, people are starting to save seeds. We've created 120 community seed banks. In India, we totally connect seed saving with ecological agriculture, and ecological agriculture with another economy of food and farming, where farmers are not exploited, because in the Monsanto model, super profits are extracted through royalties and payments for chemicals. 300,000 Indian farmers have committed suicide because of indebtedness. Most of the debt is among cotton farmers. Most of the cotton is now Monsanto's BT cotton. So that's one way. The other is you work with your seeds, you use your mind, you use your intelligence, you constantly evolve. Farmers have been breeders throughout history. They can be breeders in the future. Now, there are seed libraries being created all across the US. And while there's been a California law, criminalizing seed saving, there's also been notices sent to these seed libraries. And there's a movement to not criminalize seed libraries. There was one letter sent, I think it was Pennsylvania, saying, "You're saving seed is agri-terrorism." Fortunately, the movement is strong and those are being rolled back. But it is not enough, because you can't exempt a tiny library in a public library with 20 seeds that go to 5 schools. What we need is another seed base for agriculture that is not GMO, that is not patented, that is based on the freedom of the seed to evolve and the freedom of farmers and gardeners to have access to open source seed. Just like we talk of software, there's Microsoft patented software that made Mr. Bill Gates a billionaire, and there's open source software. Open source seed is to Monsanto's patented seed what open source software is to Microsoft's patents. Non-patented seed is vital for the future, because patents on seed have killed Indian farmers. Patents on seed of corn and soya have extracted annually $10 billion in royalty and technology fee from U.S. farmers. Mm-hmm. Brazilian farmers sued Monsanto for $2.2 billion of royalty collection. So we are talking of an obnoxious, illegal way to destroy the viability of our small family farms, which are our only route to food security. Gardens, urban gardens, San Francisco, the Berkeley area, is full of school gardens and urban gardens. They would become unviable under this law.
Dr. Vandana Shiva is an environmental activist, ecofeminist, and author of more than 20 books. She wrote the introduction to the new, beautiful book, Visions of the Living Seed. It's a lovely book with photographs and inspiring essays exploring our relationship with seeds as the source of life on our planet. And Vandana founded Navdanya back in 1987. It is a network of seed keepers and organic producers spread across 18 states in India. And if you have a question or a comment for Vandana Shiva, we'd love to hear from you. Have you heard about this bill, AB 247? Vandana is on a mission to raise awareness about this, a bill that would criminalize seeds in California, and she's speaking tonight at the Heirloom Expo at the fairgrounds in Santa Rosa at 7 o'clock. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. I love this book because it brings us back to the seeds and the soil. And while there is this foodie movement in Northern California, a lot of people are still very disconnected from the seed. So can you paint us a visual here? I mean, when you hear things like 93% of seeds have been lost, it's really hard to visualize what that means.
Well, you can visualize it when you remember the fact that India, before the Green Revolution, chemical monocultures of rice were imposed, had 200,000 varieties of rice. That is what peasant farmers of India evolved. Normally, you know, it's one grass, a wild grass, domesticated by a woman, selected over millennia, diversified from one grass. One plant called the teosinte allowed the Mexican peasants to give us thousands of varieties of corn. The Mexicans are fighting Monsanto's GMO corn, even today, after years and years and years, because they see themselves as the people of corn. So when you realize that in every crop we had hundreds of thousands of varieties, and today all the cotton is BT cotton, all the soya is Roundup Ready soya, the corn is Roundup Ready or BT, the canola is Roundup Ready. We are talking not just of the disappearance of diversity of varieties in a particular crop. We are talking about displacement of an agriculture of diversity. Because after all, how has the earth been sustained over millennia? Over 10,000 years of agriculture. First, farmers evolved diversity of seed to match their soil, their climate, their taste. We use fine rice, so we have the basmati. The Japanese like sticky rice with their noodles. They have sticky rices. We evolve different kinds of rices. The rice plant gives us so much diversity. When we grow rice, we might grow it with shrimp. There'll always be ducks. When Native Americans grew corn, they grew it as the three sisters. Corn with beans climbing up the corn and squash filling the base. The squash on the base prevented evaporation of moisture from the soil, gave you nutrition. Between the squash and the beans and the corn, you have a totally balanced diet. But in the field, you have a totally balanced soil. The beans are fixing the nitrogen for free for you. So whatever creates nourishment and health for the soil creates nourishment and health for us. And an agriculture of diversity, which can only come from seeds of diversity, is the only way to have good, healthy diets. Now, all the traditional cultures, you go, you see people are healthy, their skins are shiny, no one's obese. You come to this land. You come to this land of prosperity. I tell you, the only place I feel food deprived in the world is when I come to the United States. You can't eat the food out here. It's not food anymore. And that's the reason people have to get involved in saving seeds. And there are two ways you can get involved in saving seeds. Save it yourself. And people say, no, I don't have a garden. No, you have a balcony. You have a terrace. France has just passed a bill that every terrace of Paris will be a garden. And it's part of this new awakening of what I've written in my book, Soil Not Oil, that in the soil are answers to climate change. But even if you can't do this, create a community. I know right here in Berkeley, the university has a tract, and there's been an Occupy garden created where people are farming and supplying to soup kitchens. We need to turn every food desert into a garden of nutrition with seeds of freedom. We call it Gardens of Hope. This is a movement we have created wherever farmers, wives, and widows are left behind, and we go with them. We are creating 5,000 gardens in Punjab with the widows. We've created thousands of gardens in Vidarbha, the area where Monsanto seeds have pushed farmers to cotton. And I do hope this movement of the living seed, based on the visions of the living seed, will bring the celebration of life to every corner of the world, to the US where a young man, Jordan Davis, gets shot in a parking lot. And as the movement Black Lives Matter says, yes, not only do Black Lives Matter, the life in the tiniest of seed matters. It's when we learn to respect the diversity in the seed, we will realize diversity is to be celebrated, not to be afraid of. I brought out a new manifesto with my colleagues in Navdanya. It's called Terra Viva, where we've shown how the crisis of Syria is linked to the abuse of the seed and the abuse of the soil. And I hope people will read Terra Viva. And I know some of the people I've met on this trip are willing to work on a plan for California, a Terra Viva plan for life, celebrating life on Earth and celebrating human life, which will have no place for an AB2470. It'll have no place for a glyphosate. It'll have no place for racism. And from 2nd of October to 16th of October, we do intensive actions for the living seed and the living soil and earth democracy. So if people look out for seedfreedom.info, and you will find the non-cooperation action that you can participate in, that we are evolving with all the movements that have gathered at the Heirloom Expo. Become a Satyagrahi. Become a Gandhi or a king of today.
We have just about a minute and a half before we go to break, but talk about what happens to a seed when it is genetically modified.
Well, normal seed is pollinated, it grows, it multiplies, it renews itself, it has no toxins in it. When a seed is genetically modified, the first thing that's done, a gene gun is used to shoot a toxic gene. A BT gene, which produces toxins in the plant. BT doesn't belong to a plant, it belongs to a bacteria. And now in the plant, every cell is producing the toxin. Or a herbicide-resistant gene, which is also a toxic gene. But because the technology is unreliable, you're shooting with a gene gun. You're not allowing plants to evolve. You have to add an antibiotic resistance marker to identify whether the technology succeeded, which means all the GM food you eat has antibiotic resistance built into it. The antibiotic resistance is emerging in a big way because of factory farming, because the animals are given. But it's also being contributed to by the antibiotic resistance markers. Science tells us there's horizontal gene transfer, genes transfer, particularly in our gut. The third gene they have to use is a viral promoter. Super virulent viruses. Scientists have shown that these are hybridizing with the viruses in the gut of animals and humans. So we are talking about a lethal toxic mixture. And when we say test for safety, this is substantially equivalent. When it comes to owning, they say patent, new, I invented it, never existed in nature. When it comes to test for safety, they say just like nature made it. And it's this duplicity, it's this dishonesty that is embodied in the push for GMOs.
Dr. Vandana Shiva is an environmental activist, ecofeminist, and she wrote the introduction to the new book, Visions of the Living Seed. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
Thank you to everyone who's been giving support to KALW during our spring membership campaign. I'm Matt Martin here with Ashley Ann Krigbaum, taking just a couple of minutes away from this conversation Rose Aguilar is having with Vandana Shiva. Fascinating conversation about seeds and what that means, something so fundamental that we often don't think about and live very separate from. That's one of the things that Dr. Shiva is trying to counter, to say, let's really think about what are the fundamentals of our life and how do we protect them for the future. We are asking you to give support to something else we think is fundamental, and that is independent information and ideas that are locally rooted. That's what you keep strong when you make a call to 800-525-9917 or go online to kalw.org. We have Vanda Nashiva's collection that she has been is part of and has written the foreword to, called The Living Seed. That's yours for a $120 contribution to KALW. You can go to kalw.org or make the call.
If you haven't become a member yet of KALW, now is a great time, especially if you value diversity. KALW is a place that we see diversity as a strength, not only in the programming we produce here, that we air, but also the voices that we put here on the radio for you to be a part of, for you to join in like on your call. So if you enjoy your call, you enjoy calling and being a part of the conversation, you are already a KALW fan, think about becoming a member and giving us a call now at 1-800-525-9917 or head to kalw.org.
If you go to kalw.org, right near the top, you'll see the picture of Vandana Shiva. And if you click the Donate Now button, you can then find out about how you can give your support to local public radio. Get her new book that she is part of and has written the foreword to. That's yours for a $120 contribution. And Ashley Ann, what you were saying about diversity, the way that diversity maintains flexibility, possibility, the ability to adapt to future circumstances. When this station was founded in 1941, no one was thinking about the circumstances we would have to face in 2015. But because we have something locally based, responsive, and dependent on listeners and the community, it's able to adapt. Your support makes that possible. We're going to go back to Rose's conversation and to Dr. Vandana Shiva in just a moment, but make a call now at 800-525-9917 or go to kalw.org as you listen. Thanks.
This is a special edition of Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar, here in studio with Dr. Vandana Shiva, an environmental activist, eco-feminist, and author of more than 20 books, including The Violence of the Green Revolution. She wrote the introduction for the new book, Visions of the Living Seed. It is a newly released collection of beautiful photographs and inspiring essays exploring our relationship with seeds as the source of life on our planet. Dr. Shiva is founder of Navdanya. She founded it in 1987. It is a network of seed keepers and organic producers spread across 18 states in India. So I love the visual you created, because when you go into a grocery store in the United States, 70 to 80% of the packaged and processed food is GMO. It's hard to know if it is or not because there's no labeling. We can talk about that later. But give us a sense of what really stands out for you. I often think of potato chips. Because is it 80% of corn now is GMO? Is that right? Potatoes and corn?
No. No, in potato, it's not such a big figure. It's in corn and soya, in this country, it's about 95%.
95% for corn
and soya. And the interesting figure is, for all of those who promote biotech and say this is for feeding the world, only 10% of the corn and soya grown is eaten directly by humans. 90% goes for biofuel and animal feed. And animals fed on grain are not healthy animals. They are herbivores. They want to eat grass. They want to be free. And they're being turned into grain-feeding animals, competing with human beings. The hunger in the world is a consequence of a food system that colonized the seed, desertified the soils, marginalized the farmers, and turned everything into a commodity.
Well, to that question, Billy writes in, I'm curious to know your thoughts about eco-feminist vegans and what you think of veganism in terms of its impact on the climate.
Well, it is true that intensive livestock farming and too much promotion of meat is a very big factor in climate change. And it's not that factory farming is efficient, it's just that the subsidies there are big. The entire industrial agriculture model, whether it's for grain or meat, is based on subsidies, not on true productivity and efficiency. Now, I grew up with cows. My mother had cows, and she gave as much time to the cows as to us. When, off and on, she would milk them herself. She loved. She was highly educated. She became a refugee with the partition. But when she came back to India, she chose to be a farmer. And she loved her cows so much. She actually talked to them. Each of them had a name. And when she'd milk the cows, it would be after the calves had had their fill. So we've had a non-violent relationship with cows. I can totally understand why young people in Western countries seeing industrial farming are reacting to that violence with becoming vegan. I would call for the liberation of the seed and every animal and every woman and every child. It's all one liberation. That's why I talk of earth democracy. For me, ecofeminism is a philosophy that says patriarchy, capitalist patriarchy, made two big errors. It declared nature is dead when nature is very alive, and that's why our book of Shume and Navdanya on the visions of the living seed invites you to feel the life in the seed, just like another book that's coming will have images of the living soil. The second mistake they made was declare women don't have brains. They don't work, they're not creative, they're not productive, they don't contribute to the economy. Ecofeminism corrects those two errors. And then we have another knowledge system, another agriculture, another economy, another democracy.
Well, thank you for the email, Billy. You can email us feedback@yourcallradio.org. You can also give us a call at 866-798-8255. If you have a question for Dr. Vandana Shiva, she's been working on these issues for 3 decades as an environmental activist, a proud ecofeminist, and author of more than 20 books. She wrote the introduction for the new book, Visions of the Living Seed. 866-798-8255. What questions do you have about our food supply and the importance of healthy soil and healthy seeds? You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org, or for that matter, climate change, the growing population, and how the role of seeds can really tackle those issues. So, I mean, this is a big idea and a sort of a big question, but it's an important one, because you have said that when you control food, you control society. When you control seeds, you control life. Talk about, elaborate on that.
Well, you know, actually, this understanding of mine came from Henry Kissinger's very famous saying during the Vietnam War, that food is a weapon. And the food was used as a weapon. And sadly, many of the herbicides being used in the U.S. today, for example, 2,4-D, an ingredient of Agent Orange, now they're genetically engineering seeds to be tolerant to 2,4-D. It was a weapon of war. And I guess partly because I'm an ecofeminist, I don't stop at the narrative of patriarchy. We are bringing better seeds, it's all for solving the problem of hunger. I look behind. And control is very much part of the agenda of genetic engineering. Control of the seed, control of life on Earth, and through that, the control over our food system. Nothing is more vital than that. You know, why did the Arab Spring take place? It was bread riots in Egypt. It was a vegetable vendor in Tunisia. These were food-related. Why are the Syrian refugees created? Because the soil was destroyed, the inappropriate seed in the Golden Crescent where agriculture evolved. Chemical farming was pushed on those fragile arid soils of Syria. In 2009, with a severe drought, the whole system collapsed. That's when the refugee exodus started. And of course, there's been intervention with violence, etc., not realizing the issue is about stopping the war against nature. And the key thing about this control aspect is it comes from a militarized mind. It comes from a mind that cannot see the beauty that we have tried to communicate, the beauty in the seed, the beauty in diversity, the beauty of life evolving in freedom. When you see a child who's able to play around and do their thing and grow and evolve, brings you joy. You see the epidemic of autism in this country. It's 1 in 35 now. It used to be 1 in 100,000 two decades ago. And the predictions are on the Center for Disease Control data. This is not the data of activists. Center for Disease Control graph is showing that if nothing is done about the diets of our kids, 1 in 2 children will be autistic. So we are talking about a control over knowledge, because research that should be done to know what's happening. Why are children getting autistic? Why are so many getting food allergies? How do we breed seed for nourishment and health and taste. Instead, you have the AB 2470 saying only industry will finance research. But when industry finances research, it censors knowledge. What you are as a public radio to communication, open source seeds and public research is to the seeking of knowledge to maintain, support, and enrich life on Earth.
What are your thoughts on just how charged this conversation is about GMOs, genetically modified seeds? What are your thoughts about that, about the science behind it, about the various players involved, the millions of dollars involved?
Well, you know, I've just written my column in an Indian paper, and I've talked about the dharma of food. Dharma, as you might know, is the word used in Buddhism, Jainism, Hinduism, Sikhism, and it is derived from the word dhri, that which holds together. And dharma is the distinguishing between the right livelihood and right action. And the right livelihood and right action is that which supports life, that which supports society, and the wrong action, and dharma, is that which disrupts, break down, disintegrate. Now, it is a tragedy that the dharma of food, the right eating, the right growing, has been reduced to three letters, GMO. No, there's much more to food. The seed is relevant to food. The soil is relevant to food. Farmers are relevant to food. Freedom is relevant to food. Why is the GMO debate so charged? Because everything else has been removed, and we are expected to accept in ignorance, giving up all our freedoms, that which has generated billions of dollars of profits for a Monsanto, who can then spend part of the billions for advertising, for public relations, for attacking those who would express it differently, for lobbying in government, so that instead of Americans having a right that 64 countries have for labeling, they're denied that right, and there's a dark act, the denial to Americans of the right to know. It's passed through Congress, it's going to be coming up for Senate. It's all Monsanto's lobbying money. It's come from illegal collection of royalties from farmers who've committed suicide. And this system can only exist by the crushing of democracy in all its dimensions. The reason it's charged is, on the one side, are ordinary mothers whose child is sick, small farmers, gardeners, school children, researchers, scientists. On the other side are four companies and the lobbyists they can pay for, including scientists who have become lobbyists, as the FOLTA email release in New York Times has established.
We recently did a show about GMOs with Stephen Drucker, who wrote a book about the lawsuit he and a number of groups filed against the FDA. He says the FDA is lying to the public about GMOs. We got so many phone calls on that show. A lot of people said, you're not a scientist, you don't know what you're talking about, really challenging what he was presenting. Where can people go to find scientific information about, you know, basic questions about GMOs and how they might be affecting health?
Yeah. Two very important issues related to that. I'm a scientist. I do ecological science now. I used to do quantum science earlier. Ecological science means you must look at all the relationships. I was appointed by the United Nations to be on the first expert group that framed the international United Nations laws on biosafety. Biosafety is the scientific assessment of the impact of GMOs on the environment, on public health, and the socioeconomic conditions of our farmers. It's a scientific discipline. It's an international law. The Monsantos of the world and their lobbyists will say, anyone who speaks biosafety is not talking science. The rights of people are based on established structures of knowledge and science. Stephen Drucker has written on the legacy of the Environment Protection Agency and FDA. It was scientists like Rachel Carson who woke us to the damages of poisons. Out of that came the EPA. That is science too. Now, Monsanto has created a narrative that says our propaganda is science. We can keep repeating, we feed the world, we feed the world, we feed the world, while all they do is poison the world. And anyone brings out real science, attack. Dr. Arpad Puthsai, 1998, paid by the government of UK to do research on the impact of GMOs, found intestinal damage in the rats. The brains had shrunk. The pancreas had enlarged. In the first few days, his work was covered hugely, and then, under pressure of Monsanto, his lab was shut down and a gag order was put on him. Eric Gillis Seralini, a friend scientist, whose work has been republished after the lobbyists of Monsanto, and Monsanto directly, letters from Monsanto went to the journal. His work has shown organ failure, and he wasn't looking for mammalian tumors because he's a toxicologist, but he found very high levels of mammalian tumors. So if you want to see where to go for the science, read scientific journals. Don't listen to Monsanto propaganda.
I just found a piece in the Huffington Post in 2010 in a study released by the International Journal of Biological Sciences analyzing the effects of genetically modified foods on mammalian health, like you just said. Researchers found that agricultural giant Monsanto's GM corn is linked to organ damage in rats.
It's been building up. And the thing is that there was a Russian scientist who did this work. Turns out, she also found very high levels of mammalian tumors. Monsanto and the lobbyists attacked her. That too is now out. They've done a bit to try and attack me. But, you know, I am too free a spirit. And we have a beautiful, you know, we embody all beautiful human traits in goddesses. Just as much as in the Latin culture, you know, there's a goddess of the potato, the goddess of the corn, the goddess of the tapioca. We have goddesses of wisdom and goddesses of, well, and we have a beautiful goddess, Durga, who's always so free. And, you know, these are the embodiments of human potential that inspire me. But the story, when the story will be written, when a Steve Drucker has written only about the USA, when the story will be written about what happened to India, how Monsanto wrote and broke laws, and I write about this all the time, or Europe and their corruption there, or China, or Australia, or Canada, we are going to have the biggest manual on crimes against nature and humanity and democracy and human rights.
Dr. Vandana Shiva is an environmental activist, ecofeminist, and author of more than 20 books. She wrote the introduction to the new book, Visions of the Living Seed. It is a collection of photographs and essays exploring our relationship with seeds as the source of life on our planet. Dr. Shiva is speaking tonight at the Heirloom Expo at the Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa, 7 o'clock. Find more information at yourcallradio.org. And if you have any questions for Vandana Shiva or any comments about... there's so much, our food system, seeds, climate change, really focusing on seeds, though, because that's the focus of her book. And also soil. 2015 was declared the year of soil. She says that we can mitigate the impacts of climate change and the population explosion by talking about the importance of seed and biodiversity preservation. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. This is a special edition of Your Call. There's so many beautiful essays in this book, but in the hope for the future, Dr. Joan Brown Campbell writes, although the seed is the source of life and the first link in the food chain, it has too few advocates. Although it contains all life that will come, it goes unnoticed, even as it cries out for our mothering support. The seed is not named, no pictures are available that would give it our sympathies, and few offer aid to the life of seed. So given that, what is it like for you to be such a strong advocate of seeds?
First, a deep experience of joy in the life of the seed. You know, every time we sow the seeds and then we get a harvest. And because we have saved seed, you know, on our farm right now in Doon Valley, we have a farm and we run an Earth University. We grow more than 2,000 crop varieties. If you were to come to Doon Valley and see our farm, we have 750 varieties of rice growing. And just that experience with the seed is an experience of joy. It's an experience of hope. That's the hope that they're taking away by saying, no, seed will not reproduce. Seed should only come from the lab. What I've learned from the seed over time is in the seed is the gift of not just the season's pollinators, but pollinators over millennia. We've just done a study on pollination. Mm. 1/3 of the production in our experimental crops came from pollinators. And it's the seeds that are pollinated by the pollinators that have the highest resilience and have the highest diversity, because cross-pollination becomes a problem with GMOs, because GMOs have toxic genes. You don't want those genes to spread. But cross-pollination has been the way diversity has spread, and had hybridization has created suddenly a new variety with the intelligence of the seed, the intelligence of the pollinator, and intelligence of the women who work to do the seed saving. Another thing I have learned from the seed is never give up.
What are your thoughts? We've done shows on bees and the very importance of bees. There have been a lot of new studies coming out about neonicotinoids,
yes,
and their effect on bees. What are your thoughts about where this is going? Because luckily there now is so much growing awareness. I mean, even the White House is now talking about bees and what they're currently facing. And there are calls for the White House to ban these neonics.
Yeah. Neonics are one contributor to the threat to bees. With the monarch butterfly, we know 90% of the extinction of the monarch butterfly is because of GMO crops, Roundup Ready crops that destroyed the milkweed on which the monarch nests. That's recognized in the literature. A study was done in Cornell, I think in the 90s, where Bt pollen was fed to monarch larvae and non-Bt pollen was fed. All of the butterflies fed with the Bt pollen died. The ones without the Bt didn't die. We've just done a study on soils in the Bt cotton areas of India. Let me just share the figures. Fungi are down by 31%, bacteria are down by 256%, nitrifiers that mobilize the nitrogen are down by 29%. We are talking of a disaster of the web of life with these toxins. Above ground, the insects, below ground, the microorganisms that feed us, our own microflora in our gut, because our gut is really an ecosystem, and we have to see all of this in a continuum. And good seed makes healthy soils and makes healthy food. Toxic seeds like the GMOs are toxifying the soil, they're toxifying our gut, and they're killing life on Earth. And even while life on Earth is killed, you know, Monsanto will say we don't affect butterflies. You look at the Bt patent. Look at the patent. It says it is a toxin for the butterfly. They know all this. Roundup doesn't affect humans. They know the bacteria have the enzyme. So at every step, that can't be science. Science is not telling deliberate lies. Science is exploring the truth. And if there's one thing Monsanto has done systematically over 30 years, they knew glyphosate is a cancerogenic. They've denied that. They go after WHO. They will have lobbyists sitting right now in Sacramento trying to undo the call for banning or announcing glyphosate as a carcinogen. So we are talking not just about diversity versus monocultures, life versus destruction. We are talking about truth versus lies.
I wanted to mention this bill that we talked about earlier that would criminalize seeds in California. It's AB 2470. And I just got word from my producer, Laura Flynn, that it has already passed.
Yes.
And so
first of January, it came into force.
Okay, so then it has to go to, I'm sure, the Senate, and it's now making its way through.
No, it's only a California law.
Right. So
It's a law.
Okay, so it's on the books?
Yes.
Well, we're going to have to do a show about this, because
yes,
we're getting a lot of calls.
You must, and I would suggest just call it the Monsanto law. The Dark Act is a Monsanto law in Washington. This is a Monsanto law in California, because only a Monsanto gains by the implementation of these clauses. Nature loses, people lose, California loses.
Well, we're getting a lot of calls about that, so I'm going to add that to my list. Thank you for calling in. Dr. Vandana Shiva is an environmental activist, ecofeminist, and she wrote the introduction to the book Visions of the Living Seed. And she'll be speaking at the Heirloom Expo tonight at 7 o'clock, Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa. Vandana, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to this special edition of Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar.